Join in the prayer for understanding of God's word. Holy Spirit of God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our reading from God's word is from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. The Ten Commandments. Then God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. You must have no other gods before me. Do not make an idol for yourself, no form whatsoever, or anything in the sky above, or on the earth below, or in the water under the earth. Do not bow down to them or worship them, because I, the Lord your God, am a passionate God. I punish children for their parents' sins, even to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. But I am loyal and gracious to the thousandth generation of those who love me and keep my commandments. Do not use the Lord your God's name as if it were of no significance. The Lord won't forgive anyone who uses his name this way. Remember the Sabbath day and treat it as holy. 6 days you may work and do all your tasks, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. Do not do any work on it, not you, your sons or daughters, your male or female servants, your animals, or the immigrant who is living with you. Because the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and everything that is in them in 6 days, but relaxed on the seventh. That is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that your life will be long on the fertile land that the Lord your God is giving you. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not testify falsely against your neighbor. Do not desire your neighbor's house. Do not desire and try to take your neighbor's wife, male or female servant, ox, donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank our sister in Christ for how she helps us to continue in a spirit of worship. Thank you, my friend. Join with me in prayer. We thank you, loving God, for these words that are familiar and yet that continue to stretch us. Thank you for how you speak through them and into our lives. And it's in the name of Christ, our risen Savior, that we pray. Amen. A story is told involving Mark Twain, an American humorist, where an individual says to Mr. Twain, "You know, I'm going to memorize the Ten Commandments. Then I'm going to travel to the Holy Land. Then I'm going to climb up to the highest mountain. And then I'm going to shout them from the top of that mountain." Mr. Twain just kind of pauses to consider what has just been offered to him and says to him, "Have you ever thought about just staying home and keeping them?" You know, the Ten Commandments elicit all sorts of emotions. And what's interesting to me as I've been perceiving this in our culture is that oftentimes they elicit a great amount of emotion from people who have no idea what they are. There are those who would propose that we need to have them up everywhere, you know, listed. That might help, since a great many people are not necessarily even familiar with what the Ten Commandments convey. There has been arguments as well over we need to put the Ten Commandments and display them in public. What I would suggest, and what has been suggested by other commentators, is not only are they listed on the front for others to see, but they're listed on the back for those who display them as well to be reminded. The Ten Commandments are not a tool to bludgeon other people, to show them their evilness, to convict them. The Ten Commandments are a reminder of God's grace, structure, hope, and love that is offered in each of our lives. A roadmap, if you will, towards the cross, towards resurrection, towards living truly as God's people. That's why it's included as a lectionary in Lent. We're heading closer and closer to the cross. The hymns today are some of my favorites. They remind us of that as well. And we're heading closer to Jerusalem. We're on that road together. The Ten Commandments are a GPS, if you will, on that road to Jerusalem, giving us structure, giving us direction, helping in our focus to remember that we need to focus first of all on God, and then on God's people. The Ten Commandments have this image of set-apartness, don't they? Who's thinking of Charlton Heston right now? Okay. It's one of my favorite movies. It's kind of hokey. I apologize for saying that. But it's still one of my favorite movies. And I have great memories, especially whenever I was just home or back in Pennsylvania, of watching that. You know, they usually showed it on Easter Sunday or sometime around that, and I always remember staying up and watching that. And I got a chance to stay up late because that movie, man, it was long, wasn't it? But you have Charlton Heston up on the mountain and God speaking and things being thrown around and lightning, and he's kind of blown back by the power of God. And his hair's flowing. Well, imagine that. But his hair's flowing and flowing around, and it's a dramatic scene at the top of the mountain. But I would like to suggest something else to you. The Ten Commandments communicate an intimacy with God to us. Think about that. They're not set apart someplace. They in themselves are not worshipped. Remember that. They're teachings. They're commandments from God to us. They are not worship. They help us to worship God, truly. They help us to focus on God, but they are not what we worship. And God speaks to each of us personally through them. Were they created at the beginning to create community? Was God creating community, in essence, through the commandments? Absolutely. And he was reminding his people that they belonged to him, that they were people of a covenant, a sacred agreement. But today, they continue to speak of covenant, of sacred agreement to each and every one of us, not only together as the church, the body of Christ, and brothers and sisters, but also into each of our lives personally as well. The first group of commandments speak about our relationship with God, in essence. The second group of commandments speak about our relationship with God's created ones. Kind of a generalization there, but that will work for our purposes this morning. How is our relationship with God? How is your relationship with God? That's not said in a pejorative way. It's not said in a judgmental way. Both the same things. It's not said in a way of criticism or even trying to convict you of anything. It's just simply a question. John Wesley had a question that he offered to those who gathered with him. He was one of our spiritual fathers. And whenever they gathered and prayed, the question that they shared with one another is, how is it with your soul? How is it with your soul inside? How are you experiencing God's love? That's another way to put it. And grace. The commandments remind us of that. Have we put God first? Are we only worshiping God? Are we taking God's name in vain, or are we using it in some way that we hope will only benefit us, like it's some sort of magical chant that we can say God's name and we get whatever we want? Or prayers turn out the way we want them to happen. That's not the way it works, folks. Are we sensing God's presence? Are we taking time to sense God's presence? Are we taking Sabbath time? Are we resting in God's grace? Are we taking moments to just think about how God is speaking specifically into our lives and reflecting? Are we so busy with our own agendas running around that we have no time for God? God, I promise I'll get back to you when I can make time for you. Well, isn't it a grace truth to know that God never speaks to us in that way? God always has time for us. And then as we're thinking about that relationship that we have with God, where we are with God, how it is with our soul, and we're thinking about the commandments in that light and how they help us to focus in that way, Then we look around us and we expand our vision, because discipleship is not just about us, is it? At some point, we need to step outside of ourselves and we need to look around and understand that this is all God's. It all belongs to God. Our sister in Christ, who offered a witness at the very beginning of worship about a global perspective, that is what we need to have. The whole world belongs to God. And how are we experiencing that? How are we seeing one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, as God's children? How are we doing that? That, my friends, is also essential on the journey of Lent to Jerusalem and the cross. Essential. If we don't come away from Lent having been stretched in some way, having been able to look outside of ourselves and see God's presence in another, see need someplace, be challenged to be able to step away from our own agendas and be tuned into how God is guiding us, then we've missed the point. And that second section of commandments is all about that. Being truthful. Being loving, showing honor, recognizing not only God's presence in us, but God's presence in that person sitting right in front of us. You see, when we look at the Ten Commandments in that way, it's not a list of to-dos, isn't it? It's a message of hope and promise and joy and love. In some places of worship, they regularly read the Ten Commandments. You know where it is in the Bible. It's listed in the bulletin. It's a couple different places. I don't think that's an accident either. If we missed it in one place, God said, here, read it again. This is really good. I love you so much. I'm giving you a roadmap of grace, a roadmap of hope. And as you do these things, God says, you experience my love even more profoundly. Can we look at these and understand that they are for the modern day church as well? Yes. Can we look at these and understand that their relevance is more important today than ever before? Yes, absolutely. And should we embrace them? Maybe read them ourselves every day? Certainly. Why not? But it's the churning that they create inside of us, the deepening that takes place. Not simply something that we shout at someone else, saying, thou shalt not, but rather understand how God is helping us to grow in a way that is deep, mature, wholesome, and once again, hopeful to the world. We continue on the journey towards the cross. And we continue on that journey of redemption. And we continue on that journey offering up ourselves, offering up our brokenness, offering up our grief, offering up our hurts, offering up our challenges. And in all of those things, we understand that God receives them all. And we can do that knowing that God is not going to turn his back on us, never will, and will never forget us. And knowing that we can trust God, and God would not see all of that thing, all those things that we offer at the cross on the way to Jerusalem. God would not see those things as signs of weakness, but God will see those things as signs of trust in him and him alone. How are you doing with that question or that consideration that our sister also had mentioned in her testimony? Are you trying to have control or you're trying to have faith? How are we doing with that question? Because you can't have both. When we offer ourselves and hear God's voice through the scripture today, these are guidelines for you, my children. We know that God is still at work in us, and we need it. And God never stops working in the lives of his people as individuals or as the body of Christ. Thanks be to God for that endless grace, for the guidance he always gives us. Once again, we've heard it today. And for his love through Jesus. I invite you, as we come to a time of departure, as we're ready to go out into mission, to join with me in singing our final song of mission, number 359, Alas and Did My Savior Bleed. Let's sing the first verse. Stand as you like.